avenues to go.
Avenues to go down, doctrinal avenues that I believe are important, gives us understanding of these things. And when we last left off, we were looking at the resurrection. And there is a resurrection, I believe the Bible teaches, there's a resurrection of the just and the unjust on the same day. When you read Revelation 20, at the great white throne judgment, it says, I saw the dead stand before, right, which means dead people don't stand. And so they already died the first time, were resurrected, and they're standing waiting for the second death, which is the lake of fire.
The cool thing about this, Jesus said that God is not a God of the dead.
That's right. Right from the beginning, right. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah. I am the God of the living, not of the dead. They're the living. Everybody else, you could be dead and alive.
Eternal life or eternal
death. That's right. Eternal death is damnation. Yeah. The lake of fire forever and ever in your resurrected body. So we did this on a Tuesday, and I know we kind of tapped into it a little bit, but I thought we could get into real deep detail on who gets into the kingdom. I know we kind of touched on it before, but we could get into the meat of this. I believe the Bible teaches when Christ comes, he's coming with his kingdom, and that kingdom is for the saints.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for the unjust. It's not for the unsaved. It's for the saints. But I thought I'd like to start by his coming first, so we can look at a bunch of verses here. We'll start in Matthew. So we're going to start with the coming of Jesus Christ, Matthew 16. Lance 16:27.
Could he start in 16:26?
Lance 16:26.
For what is a man profited?
Yeah.
He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works.
Okay, so I'm glad Curtis did that. And look at verse 25. Mm-hmm. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. But look what he's saying here. He's offering eternal life. But verse 27 says, when the Son of Man shall come.
Yeah.
Not when we go. It says when he comes. Comes where? He's coming here, right? And I only know of one time that he comes. He doesn't come and then disappear and come back 1,000 years later.
Right.
He comes one more time, and he says, when he shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man. The just and the unjust, the believer and the unbeliever. Well, not like Curtis says, everybody will be a believer at
right,
that time.
Yeah.
The saved and the unsaved, the just and the wicked, the blessed and the cursed.
Right.
The eternal life, eternal damnation. So, I mean, these are clear verses to me that tells me he's coming with his kingdom, right? And the angels, and he is going, this is the judgment seat of Christ where he separates sheep from goat, wheat from tare, good fish from bad fish. They go to their place, we enter the kingdom.
Yes.
John, Matthew 25:31-32. And like I say, like Curtis just said, if you see something that hits you that is outside of these verses, hit it. 31 and 32.
Okay. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats.
So, the Son of Man is coming. We're not going. He's coming, right? Same doctrine. In his glory, that's his kingdom, his glorious kingdom, with the angels, the holy angels, and he's going to sit upon his throne of glory. Where? On this earth, right?
Well, just a little bit further. I hate to keep interrupting like this. Because if we don't look at how to get into the kingdom,
that's right,
you'll be on the wrong side.
That's right.
And Jesus continues tells you how They asked, how did we do this?
Like you've been preaching.
Yeah.
You better have it here first.
Yeah. And there's some work that needs to be done. You need to care for the widows and the
orphans.
Right. You need to feed the hungry. Give drinks to the thirsty. Bless your enemy.
There better be evidence.
Yes.
There better be evidence in our lives that that kingdom dwells in here.
Yes.
Because like you've been preaching, it is a kingdom that's coming. There are angels. There is a throne. There is a heavenly host and a realm that's there.
And there is a dividing line.
That's right.
There is a real cut dividing line that there are people we know and love that profess Christ that will not get into the kingdom.
That's right.
Those folks, the ones who were cast out and said, how do we not do it? And Jesus said the same thing. Because you didn't do to the least of these, you didn't do to me.
Yeah.
Right? So that doing to the least of these, and praise God for the study of the kingdom and what we're going through with these things that is here. But if we don't get the kingdom right in us, you will find yourself on the other side.
Maybe that's the theme for our church in this new year, is prepare for the kingdom.
Yeah. Well, I think God started this a little while ago, but there's a burning in me that I don't think the church, those who call themselves Christian, know anything about how to enter into the kingdom of God.
That's right.
They think, pray after me.
That's right.
And you're in like Flynn.
Yeah.
But there is a lifestyle, a work of faithfulness, of righteousness,
fruit.
Of holiness, of fruit.
Yeah.
You know, and anyhow.
A fruit that is produced that you bear.
Right.
So you never just...
It is like you can't do it by yourself.
That's right. You can't do it.
Yeah.
You'll never do it in your flesh.
I was sharing yesterday when I was here that I went out to dinner the night before, and it was terrible service. The food wasn't good. I mean, it was terrible. And I went someplace else, and again, it was just bad attitudes, and I just want to go. Right? I just want to go. So I went. And I was sad. I was very sad. And the reason I was sad is because I felt a loss.
Yeah.
I lost that sense of community, that sense of connection with people. Not only am I getting older, and as we get older, we get just a little bit more separated from young people.
We're being separated.
I'm just the old lady, right?
Yeah.
But add on to that, the culture of
it. Right.
But I was talking with a friend and shared this kind of, it, almost like a grief that I felt. And I just asked the Lord, let me see it through your eyes. Please help me see this through your eyes. And when I did that, I was by myself, and I was working at my house, and he did. In a powerful way that only he could do. It wasn't my deciding that I'm going to have the right answer.
It's him coming.
It was, Jesus, I am so sorry that I see things from my own hurt and don't see the opportunity. Because honestly, I'd rather go into the woods, build a cabin, and live there the rest of my life than deal with some of the attitudes that I come across.
Amen.
Right? But that's not what he's got me here for.
That's right.
This is not what I'm
calling. We're here to be a witness.
But I needed the Spirit of God in me.
Yeah.
To show me that. Not change my attitude, but to open up my heart to Christ, to die to self and say, I don't matter.
Yeah.
You matter.
Yeah.
And he showed me.
Yeah. And, you know, like you say, too, there is a spiritual separation that's taking place between us and even family members. Like I was sharing with these guys this morning, you know, I went to my family for Christmas after I probably spent 20, 25 minutes going through the birth of Christ, that his first coming, he paid the price, the second coming, he's coming to judge you, and you better be right with it. And I just had kids read some Bible verses, and I spent time witnessing to them for, I'd say, 20, 25 minutes, and it basically went, you know, my sister texted me, said, boy, you seem kind of, you know, not your jovial self, you know.
You're wearing your Santa hat.
And I said, they don't get it. They don't get it. It breaks my heart.
They don't get it.
At
the moment, Tom, but you
plant
the seed.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my hope. I mean, I really do believe that when Christ appears, there will be people, like on the thief on the cross, that rejected him, but yet through our witness, they said, I trust him.
We can only truly reckon with Christ alone.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
We can't do it.
But your heart does break for loved ones. I mean, it's just, it's...
If, like you're saying, the thing that I really hope that we do here is learn enough about the kingdom within that we can hold on to it and able to share it.
That it changes you.
That it changes me.
Yeah.
I'm looking for it. I know it's in Matthew, the early part where Jesus is talking to the Beatitudes, and he says, so let your light shine before a city built on a hill can't be hid. All right? And so let your light, that they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That kingdom ought to be living in us in such a real way.
That's right.
That in these dark times, it ought to be gleaming, glaring, and hurting their eyes.
That's right.
And maybe they'll see.
That's right.
Maybe they'll see.
Right. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Yeah.
Neither do men put light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto the all in the house.
There you go.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, that, like you said, I mean, I agree with Wendy. I mean, to me, this is always my hope that maybe I don't get it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about this, the talents that were given to the stewards.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The five talents, the two talents, and the one talent. And the last steward took the talent and buried it.
Yeah.
And you know what's so horrifying about that is that Jesus said to him, take his talent away,
and cast him into outer darkness. Yeah. And cast him into outer darkness.
Unprofitable.
Servant. He called him a servant.
He was a believer in the master.
That's right.
God entrusted him enough to do, because he gave to each according to their several abilities.
Right. That's right.
They could do.
Yeah, this was the warning I gave to my family. It says, you know, not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the thing is, the whole dispensation, and I don't mean to go off and run on this, but it's like the whole dispensational, you know, the hyper-dispensationalism, it's the exclusion of the Gospels or many of the portions of it because it doesn't rhyme with the narrative that they're pushing.
That's right.
But then when you realize the errancy, how wrong it is, and you look at it, and now you start looking at those parables and you start going, whoa.
And you said it too, Kev. You know, we've studied dispensationalism, which is probably 90% of churches, fundamentalist churches, and it divides.
Yeah.
It chops up. Christ Church is unity, Jew and Gentile together.
Right.
They take it up and they chop it up and they say, well, this is why you end up with Episcopalians and all these different... what do they call it?
Denominations.
That's dividing the church, where this unites it. And to me, I really do. I mean, other than the teaching of evolution, I think dispensationalism has been an evil work in the church.
Even as you say that, understand that they went hand in hand.
Right.
That's right.
It came on the scene at the same time.
Yeah.
It's right. It's not a coincidence. It's the same with the Theosophical Society, you know, Helen Blavatsky and all that stuff, and Mormonism, Jehovah Witness, you know, all that stuff came on the scene with evolution, and dispensationalism.
I'll tell you, to not no longer believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, that's like where the door was cracked open.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
That's right.
Once you realize there's no such thing as a pre-trib rapture,
now
you start looking at scripture and you start going, wait a minute. Because pre-trib rapture is predicated upon dispensationalism.
Absolutely. You can't have it without it. You don't have pre-trib rapture without dispensationalism.
Absolutely.
And you also don't have easy believism without dispensationalism.
Yeah.
The two things that they hang everything on, they will throw you out of a church if you start saying, oh no, I believe we're going through the tribulation.
I understand why they throw you out of the church.
Yeah.
Because of what?
You're being divisive.
Or you're now you're saying, let's look at the scripture.
Everybody become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
Yeah.
Brother will be against brother?
Yeah. That's what I say. I mean, there's an apostasy of believers departing from the faith.
Yeah.
Not Catholics.
No. Right.
Okay. So one more thing here. In verse 32 there it says, and he shall get, and before him shall be gathered all nations.
Yeah.
So you can see at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to gather all nations. We've studied this, you know, Nineveh in the Queen of the South. She's going to be brought up with the generation that saw Jesus Christ, which is going to be brought up with this generation. And that's how God judges. He's going to judge them. He judges salvation individually. But he judges nations by their wickedness or their blessedness.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a Christian. You don't abort babies for 50 years and call yourself a Christian nation. You don't recognize same-sex marriage. You don't promote their lifestyle and call yourself a Christian nation. I love America, what it was, and it hurts to see what's happening. Because I really did love this country.
Yeah.
And I understand masonry and all that stuff. But we were really unique than any other nation.
Oh, yeah.
All the inventions came out of us because we had a mind to think. Yeah. Those days are gone.
Unleashed to think.
That's right.
And now we've stopped training our children how to think.
Yeah.
Well, Frederick Douglass was asked how he came up with all the inventions. And he says, I got it from the Bible.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Read my Bible.
That's right. Yeah, we were the inventors. Eli Whitney, all these people, we were the inventors. Well, I'm not going to get to the whole moon thing. But we were the ones who were advancing
to the moon.
Good throughout the world. And it's collapsed. It's like we were talking about a couple Tuesdays ago. We're not knowledgeable. We're ignorant people.
Right.
Knowledge is not increasing. Which they are basing their life. Alexa, how many states are there? Alexa, how do I make cookies?
How many eggs are in a dozen eggs?
They're ignorant.
And she only tells you what's programmed.
It's right. I wonder, Dave, I'm glad you said that. I wonder if you ask Alexa, is there a God of Jesus Christ? I wonder.
No, it's politically swayed.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
All those AIs are programmed. Like, if you say, like, what is a woman?
What is a woman?
I really can't tell you.
Biological. Like,
we'll
get to have babies. Like,
so let's change the definition in the dictionary of what a woman is.
You'll get a story,
right?
For a simple answer.
Yeah.
We got a youth over here. What a question.
Well, like, if you ask, what is your favorite color or anything like that, if they say, I can't answer them.
Yeah, right.
It's about me, it's about you.
Yeah, right. You're offended. Well, my favorite color is green. You're offending me. Everybody's offended.
The important thing for me was when it is a lack of confidence. They are ignorant because they lack confidence to believe that they can do it, that they can do the math, that they can do the... And understand things. And the reason that's really important is when I talk to them, I can't dismiss them.
Right.
I need to say to them, you can do this.
That's right.
You are capable of doing
this. That's right.
I know you can. They need to hear that, not, you gotta be kidding me, you don't know how to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not dismissive.
Right.
Or frustrated even.
Well, we need to stand. Mm-hmm. We need to stand our ground when they try to make Christmas about Santa Claus. No, it's, he wasn't born on that day, but we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We need to stand when they say, well, I think I'm a woman. No, you're not. You will never produce a baby. You don't have a uterus. You're not a female. You know, and this is being done on purpose because that's why, you guys know me. I've always said we need to see some things before we start to. But I'm seeing a world that is just spinning out of control and becoming more and more wicked. And it's almost stupid what they believe in nowadays. I see people walking around in our age group with masks on.
Yeah, it's every reverse.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, let's continue. So you can see that, once again, when is this event when he gathers all nations and he separates the sheep from the goat? Either it's at his coming or it's 1,000 years later. He doesn't do this 1,000 years later. He's coming one more time on the day of the Lord at the second coming. So turn to 2 Thessalonians. John, did you read yet?
Mm-hmm.
Alan, you want to read 2 Thessalonians? 2 Thessalonians 1, 4 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
so that we ourselves glory in you in the church of God, that the patience and the faith of all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is manifest token, is a manifest token and righteous judgment of God, and that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for ye are also suffer. See, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation. Recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and that you are in troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and the flaming fire take vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when ye shall come to be glorified in the saints and to be admired, and in them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore, also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the works of his faith with faith and power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, in ye, in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well done, Alan. There's a lot of verses there. You can see clearly this is talking about the second coming. Mm-hmm. It's not talking about 1,000 years later. When is he going to be revealed from heaven? At the second coming. And it says in verse 10, when he has come to be glorified in his saints and admired of all them that believe.
Well, but verse 8, right? In flaming fire, see? Taking vengeance on them that know not God.
It's the same day, right, Curtis?
Amen.
There's Armageddon. He's going to destroy them while he saves his children. So it's the same event, and it's when he appears. Well, Hebrews says that he appeared once to pay the price for sins. He shall appear the second time. Not the second and third time. This clearly, there's no such thing as a pre-trib rapture, because then he would have to appear 7 years, and then 7 years later. And then a lot of people that believe wicked people are going to survive to enter the kingdom. He's going to appear again 1,000 years later.
The secret coming of Christ.
The secret rapture.
Yeah, where's that happen in Scripture, please?
Yeah. Over.
A quick thing on to know God. Like, I don't want to go weird, but...
No, go ahead, be weird.
We're
right in.
In a lot of scriptures, knowing someone is like a sexual union.
Yes, right.
So I think that speaks, knowing not God, knowing not Christ, it speaks to the kingdom being in us. He stands at the door and knocks.
Right.
Us being the bride of Christ, he either knows us and is in us.
That's right.
In a union kind of way, not sexually.
Yeah.
Intimate.
Like a
deep, rich, intimate relationship.
And then when in judgment, when he says, away from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. It's like he never got in.
And these are ones that say they knew him intimately. Like you said, that word know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's sexual. It means intimate relationship. There's a bond between you and the bridegroom and the bride. So,
yeah, but it's so lax today anyways.
Right.
That if somebody says, do you know Joe Biden? And, oh, yeah, I know Joe Biden.
Yeah, right. Do you really? Right. Yeah. But you don't know him.
Yeah.
I
don't know you other than here.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, I was talking with a friend of mine in hockey, can't stand Donald Trump. He says, how can you? I go, I don't know him. I said, you don't know him. He goes, he started calling him every name in the book. I said, how do you know that? Have you met him? Do you know him? I said, or are you just being told what to think? I said, I could care about him. I don't care about Trump. What I liked was conservatism versus communism. That's what. Go ahead, Deanna.
And the difference between knowing self-mode and knowing about...
It's right. Mm-hmm. It's right.
That's right.
It'd be an interesting thing to do a study on the word intimate
in yeah.
the Bible. Mm-hmm. Because there's a sensual connotation mm-hmm. to it. And I think, I don't think it appears much in Scripture.
Right.
No. So that whole thing, I'm not comfortable using that word.
Right.
I'm really not.
Yeah, yeah.
Just,
exactly.
There's something about it that if it's not scriptural, I mean, a deep, mm-hmm. abiding understanding, you know, with all that, but intimate lends its hand to something else. And I don't know. I mean, I should.
It doesn't feel like the Song of Solomon.
It's right. It's deep. It's
yeah.
deep.
It's not a common Bible word. No,
no, it's not.
I wonder if it's even. I wonder if it's. I don't even know if it's in the Bible. I bet it's not even a KJV word.
No.
See, because the word
is not even in the Bible.
Okay, there you go. So that's why when I hear the word intimate, I go. It just kind of makes me back up.
Yeah.
And it's not in the King James Bible, so therefore maybe I shouldn't use it.
The word no. Is in the King James Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Knowledge. Yeah.
You have to have truth.
Yeah.
It's truth.
Yeah.
You know.
I think a lot of that is in our vernacular.
Yeah.
We don't have a word for it.
Yeah.
So we use a word that we made up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then check it against pure words, buddy.
There you go.
Then you might see intimate.
And that's why I stop there when I hear that word.
Yeah.
I kind of go,
good point.
I'm not comfortable with that.
Right.
You know?
But, okay, so just to, like, to move along here, does everybody see what's going on here? I mean, what event is this talking about? And like Curtis mentioned, what you're seeing is, you're seeing a separation when he is revealed from heaven, but yet he's going to take flaming fire of vengeance on the wicked. So you can see there's going to be a separation.
And both set of people go into their eternity at that time.
You know, I'll say it again. I'll say it again. When God started to teach me pre-trib rapture is a joke, the two words he gave me were tribulation and wrath. Wrath is what comes from God. Wrath is what God did at the flood. Wrath is what God did at Sodom and Gomorrah. Wrath is what God did at Jericho. Perfect example, seven trumpets being,
seven
they go up,
around,
their kingdom right. comes down,
right.
our kingdom goes up. And I'm going to ask this question once again. Can you tell me when wicked people survive God's wrath?
Well,
but yeah, we're being told they're going to.
When God withholds his wrath.
That's right.
What happened in Nineveh.
That's right.
Because they deserve to die. But what happened? Why did God withhold his wrath in Nineveh? What was the reason?
Because of the innocence.
Well, the innocence, but what happened?
They repented.
They repented.
That's right.
They repented. They
started with believing.
Yes.
That's right.
They heard the preaching of the word, and Jonah only said that in 4 days, y'all are going to die.
That's right.
That's all he said. So the whole city, that whole area, the Holy Spirit has already been working there.
That's right.
Preparing for somebody to say, in 4 days you're going to die. Because that's all he said.
And he held back his wrath.
And he held back his wrath.
Because wrath was appointed for that city, like Kevin said. They believed.
And they,
but they believed. And God said, all right, I'll spare them.
Right.
I'll spare them. Mm-hmm. He did not pour his wrath out. And he spared them.
And his explanation to Jonah, like you said, because there are so many that hadn't even learned their right from their left.
Right.
So I would be spared from wrath because I still don't know my right and left.
Right.
It was God's chastening of Jonah.
Yeah,
shouldn't I spare the city?
That was God waking up the church person, the religious person. But it's when God does something, there is no stopping him from doing it when he examines all the facts.
Right.
He comes when he was about ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and the whole valley.
Yeah.
Came talk to Abraham.
Yeah.
Abraham said, let's bargain about this. Ad-libbed, bargain's not in the Bible. All right, but
I'm going to chew you down. Yeah. Right, that's where that comes from.
He wasn't even Jew.
Yeah, right. Go ahead.
So there's a resurrection of the righteous and the unrighteous. Right?
Absolutely.
So the people that are already dead in the graves, they're not in heaven yet. They're waiting.
They're in a place.
Saved or unsaved.
Both.
Saved. You're saying
the saved are in the presence of God in heaven. Their souls. They're not resurrected. Their souls are in the presence of heaven. The unsaved are in the pit of hell.
Right.
Waiting for the resurrection.
Not their old bodies.
Right.
So when they're resurrected,
they're in their souls.
They're in their soul. They're in their eternal body.
They have a body.
Yes, they have a body.
But
and they're recognized.
Their soul is their body.
Luke chapter 16, start in verse 19, read through.
Yeah. The soul is the body. Spirit is what spirit are you?
Do you have the Holy Spirit, or do you have the spirit of Antichrist?
Are you born again or not?
That's right.
All right, that's why Jesus said you must be born again, or you can't even see the kingdom.
Okay, so I want to wrap this up here. Dave, turn to Romans 8, but I'm going to read to you Luke 9:26. 9:26 says, Dave, you're going to Romans 8, 14 to 23, but I want to read you Luke, listen what it says, Luke 9:26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels.
Mm. So you're right.
Right.
I see a separation here at the second coming between the ones that are ashamed of him and the ones that loved him.
Yeah.
I don't see any gray area here. I don't see people surviving. I see a separation. And I think the Bible teaches it clearly. And we've done these verses before, but, you know, once again, Romans is pointing to the second coming. Go ahead, Dave.
Romans 8, 14 to 23.
Yeah.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Well done, Dave. A lot of verses there. So, clear, what this is talking about an event, an historical event that is going to take place in the future. When is this taking place? At the second coming, right? Because it says that it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of men. And it does, and yet we're told that it doesn't appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. That's the resurrection. Mm-hmm. That's the second coming. That's the last day. And I'm told the whole creation is groaning for this event, which means he's going to regenerate the earth at that event too. You know, and you're seeing a separation once again here. Go ahead, Curtis.
And both types of people, the whole creation, that means the lost, they're looking for it as much as the saved are. They just don't know what they're looking for.
That's right.
There's a longing, a hungering for this new, better, perfect life.
The aliens are going to show up and give them eternal life, and you know, because they seeded the planet, and we're their offspring. Well, where'd they come from?
Right.
Right.
But see, they're looking for it as desperately
as
the tree out there that's dying, that maple tree that's dying in my backyard.
And they're going to come up with answers.
Yeah.
I can't remember who I was talking. They want to mingle.
Yeah.
Want to mingle the human being with machines.
Yeah. I think Lance was talking about that.
Neural net.
Now you offer somebody 500 years of life, right? Unsaved. We're the experiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're going to kill you.
You are the white mouse in the cage.
Yeah. They want it for them. The elitists want to live 500 years while you're attached to a computer or
what is the Bible?
What was it?
They don't want death anymore.
It's right.
So
it's
they're going to be in agony.
Graphene. Right? Graphite. That's what our brother was talking
about. That's right, It's here.
It's here.
All this technology is here, and you have a lost world that is waxing colder and colder that says, well, I want to live forever. And they're going to take this stuff, and it's going to be tied into the mark. It's going to be tied into a falling away. There's Christians that Well, I bet you would jump all over this
thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right?
If they can promise you that you can walk there's going to be, people are going to want this.
Thing. Yeah. I was telling that girl, Shelly, she was well aware of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I said to her, think of this. Sharks don't get cancer.
Yeah.
What if they can mingle your DNA with shark DNA? Are you a human?
They also
are you a creation of God?
Yep. Air. So that means we got to breathe
salt water
to our gills.
Okay. So these verses here, I mean, this is, every once in a while, go read those verses. This is a promise. You know, like we said before, the dispensation should always have you looking back to the cross. I love the cross. I'm thankful
for the
cross.
Yeah.
But there is a second coming, and there is an inheritance coming. You know, Lance, I'm sick of myself. I want to walk with God. I make myself sick sometimes. Lord, kill me today.
Right.
I've had enough of me. It's coming. That better world, that better kingdom is coming. All of creation is growing for it. That's the inheritance. I have there's no reason not to look forward to that.
Yeah.
I know he's the center of my life. That's settled. But there's something that comes with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a natural progression. I think death, there comes, how many people have we known that are elderly, very, very elderly, will say, I just want to die.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
It's like a natural culmination
of
this fallen state. So they want to prolong life.
Both my parents were saying that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They want to prolong life. They want to, what they're doing is they're violating God's
name. That's right.
And they will bring agony.
My dad especially, I want to go. I love you kids.
I'm
thankful for you kids. Your kids are a blessing to me. I want to go.
I think it's a culmination of sin. Just being in the world. You're just tired of it. Yeah.
We have a hope where the lost really don't. Their hope is that indeed you're a Martian or that you're some cosmic explosion a billion years ago. Our hope is in the resurrection, it's in the kingdom.
Yeah.
My hope's in the kingdom. It's not in this world.
That's right.
It's not in the fallacies that we live in, the lies that we're taught from birth all the way till death. My hope is in the reality that God is real and he loves me.
This mystery Babylon is this world.
Yeah,
it's the world. It's the system.
Yeah.
Unsaved people of this world. They hate us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't get weary.
That's right.
Up in the woods. We can't.
No, that's right. Study the word.
We're supposed to say,
this is what I want.
Yes.
Lord. I want to be done.
Study the word patience.
No, I need to use you.
That's right.
You are there for a purpose, for my purpose.
Yep, right.
And you've got to stop thinking about what you want to accomplish.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to start serving
you. That's right.
And
absolutely.
In that is joy.
That's right.
If
absolutely.
We get to that point.
Yep.
Then we start. Last night when I was all by myself, de-decking the halls, I had a wonderful, joyous time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even by myself. Yep. But it was only when I was willing to say, okay, you're not taking me home. Clearly,
I'm not home.
Right now, this is where I am.
That's exactly it. Why isn't he taking us? Because he wants to use you.
Because it's not over yet.
That's right.
That's right.
Most people are afraid to give. They feel like, you know, they're not going to, you know, replenish themselves. But it's not, you're not replenishing yourself. If you really are in a situation like that, God will fill you back up.
That's right.
Alex had dinner with him, like, I don't know, it was like a month or 3 weeks ago. And this guy travels the globe. And he doesn't have, like, a solid plan. But somehow God, like, makes it work. You know?
Right.
Like, that's really, relying on God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
And that's what we should learn from this, to just trust God and stop putting our trust. Who believes the medical industry here?
I sure don't.
I don't. Who trusts God over the medical? I do. That's what God has done for me. That's what God has done for me since I've been saved. I don't trust that.
Finish reading here from where Dave left off.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
It says, for we are saved by hope.
Amen.
But hope is seen,
good, Alan.
And it's not hoped for. Where my eyes are
Missing me. I'll read it
if you want to take it to 27? Yeah.
For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Uh-huh.
That's right.
You see isn't hope.
That's right.
All right. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. There's what you were talking about, Wendy. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, and that always bothers me, and I know the English, I always call the Spirit himself, not itself. I said that one time in a sermon, people left, never came back. Itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God.
That's right.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
For them that that love God.
Yes.
Not them that reject God.
Yes.
Them that love God.
So in our pain, that's working for good. Why? Because I love God.
That's right.
In my cancer, that's working for good. Why? Because I love God.
That's right.
In my weakness, he's strong.
Right.
Why? Not because of me, but because of him.
Right. In my persecution.
Yes.
During great tribulation. Even martyrdom.
Yeah.
Right?
And
I'm
we're waiting for the hope.
God.
Two folks. Dave?
I was just going to say, if you finish 28,
yeah.
I realize this after coming here. To them who are the called.
That's right.
That's right.
To those who are
different.
Yeah.
The called.
I'll say it again. Right. This idea that people are going to survive God's wrath and they're going to enter into the kingdom of God in their human flesh as unsaved people is dispensational. It's unbiblical.
If we'll just read, we're doing these one verses at a time, but 29. All right? 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed, conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
So you're being predestinated to become the inheritance. You're going to be the inheritance.
Hence,
for us,
the kingdom is in you.
That's right.
As a kinetic energy that has not been fully recognized to its full power as of yet.
That's right.
So it's there, even in the unbeliever, it's there, and it has the ability to be everything God wanted it to be in you.
That's right.
Except you don't surrender to the call, because God calls everybody. Many are called, but only few
That's
are chosen.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I just wanted to apologize, because I've had 28 underlined,
yeah.
And I never took it, but as I'm reading here, never took it further. So do you want to just finish up in Revelation?
So
amen.
Let's move on to the kingdom itself.
Okay.
So we've established the fact that Jesus Christ is coming.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's coming
and
one
he's
more
bringing
time.
The kingdom.
He says he's coming with his kingdom, mm-hmm. right? And from what I've seen from my handful of verses here, there's more. We could go on all day. I got all kinds of verses. But I thought we could cover these. He's coming with his kingdom, and there's going to be a division
yes.
between the saved and the unsaved. So now let's look at the kingdom. We did this on a Tuesday. I know you like these verses, Curtis.
I love
John 3:3-5. Go ahead. So who gets into the kingdom now? Clearly biblical teaching. Because we've said all along, we've been told something different, like Dave just said. I look at these verses now from a different view on what I've been taught, because the Bible's teaching me instead of man.
Instead of man. Amen.
I know.
3:3?
Go ahead. I know you like these.
I love these verses because this is when the light came on, all right,
yeah.
in my life. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith, unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Only seeing the physical, right? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Gross. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again.
There it is. And then the next verse says, the wind bloweth. That's the
yes.
Holy Spirit coming
yes.
on the believer.
Mm-hmm.
He gets born again.
Yes.
And I'm told that kingdom, they can't even see it.
Yes.
They can't even enter it.
Yes.
And it's for us. Now, it has to come here first.
And the cool thing about the wind, think about this, because he's talking about the wind blows. If you're standing in the wind, who gets the breeze?
That's right.
Everybody. Everybody.
That's
wind,
right.
The wind blows on the just and the unjust.
But you gotta breathe it in.
You gotta be willing to accept the breeze. You gotta be willing to accept it.
Kevin, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. So I'm just laying out clear verses that tell you who gets in and who doesn't. So 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, Kevin.
Okay. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
One more verse.
Yeah,
one
go ahead. Yeah.
And such were some of you.
Praise God.
But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
So,
amen.
So who doesn't get in?
Well, it has a pretty inclusive list here.
Right?
This list also ties in with Romans, where we just were. Right. It ties in with
John.
John.
The ones that do get in.
Amen. Galatians chapter 6.
Right.
Right? Walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of flesh.
Yep.
Again, throughout the Bible, you see this list of characters that are not allowed in the Revelation. Even the fearful are not allowed into
the
kingdom.
And all liars.
And all liars.
So eliminate all the wicked stuff here.
Right, yeah.
Liars.
Yeah.
So an unsaved person during the millennial reign of Christ is gonna at least be a liar.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. He's not gonna be there. He can't be there. It's for us. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, so there's the water and the spirit.
Yes.
Jesus is the one that gives, the everlasting water, or, the mm-hmm. water that continuously flows, that, you're never thirsty. And then there's the spirit, which is saying the Holy Spirit. And in 11, it says that same thing. It says, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So it's Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And it is not these acts that separate.
Amen.
That's right.
It's the act of fornication.
That's right.
It is that if I commit fornication, I am clearly not choosing Jesus Christ as my Lord.
Yes.
So all of these are just reflective.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Of my perception and what I confess.
Yes.
Is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a good point. These acts are what you are.
Yes.
The evidence of their fruit of what you are.
Yes.
A good way to look at it is gangrene. Gangrene is not the problem. It's a result of a problem.
That's right.
The rotting of the flesh is not the problem. The problem is that you've got something in your body that gave you an infection that you didn't take care of. Sin.
That's right.
And as long as that sin remains and not being purified, not being cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word, by the righteousness of God, by a willing obedience to Him, that splinter of sin that's in every one of us turns into gangrene.
That's right.
And makes us decrepit. Yeah. And you miss the kingdom of God because the decrepitness of the splinter of sin that lives in every human being.
That's right. Yeah. Kevin, go ahead, dear. Go ahead,
Kevin. Well, I looked up effeminate. I just had to look up effeminate.
Yeah.
And it says to unman.
Yeah. We've seen unman? Effeminate?
This is the Webster's Old Dictionary, right?
Yeah.
So to make womanish, what's going on.
Skinny
in the world.
Jeans.
I just.
Skinny jeans and you'd
have it's a man acting like a woman.
Yeah.
It's a man acting like a woman.
Trying to be. Yeah. Voluptuous or delicate to an unmanly degree.
Running like this.
skating.
I noticed between me and my wife, we don't run the same.
No.
Kevin, Galatians 5, 26. We are clearly different. Okay? And for me, I'm not rearranging the living room every other month.
No.
I'm fine with it for 30 years, okay?
I don't do that either.
I do.
One of the dads of Wendy, what she said was that when we do that, when we say that we're of Christ and then we do those things, that we are grieving the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Right. Yes, we are.
Yeah. And we're doing that's what's going wrong.
You look at, I remember years ago I watched something, what's his name? Elton John. Mm-hmm. I just caught something on him, and he was married to a female.
And yeah, for a short while.
But he said that he realized that he was screwed up because of... They're screwed up. They're a double-minded man. They don't know what they believe in, so they're just led around by the Spirit. Go ahead, Kev. It's 26, Galatians 5, 26 to 31.
26 to 31?
Yeah.
Okay. So it just goes to 26.
Wait a minute.
You've gone too far.
You added verses in now.
You added verses. Stoning.
I don't know if I want to hear 31.
Okay, then Kev, do Ephesians 5. 5 and 6. What did I do here?
Okay. I don't know, but I think you were in 5:17.
Okay. Ephesians is where you were before.
5 and 6.
Wait a minute. Stay there in Galatians. Okay. Galatians 4. Yes. 4, 26 to 31.
Okay. You didn't write that.
typo in the notes.
Okay. Galatians 4, 26 to 31. Okay. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Mm-hmm. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of a bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Mm-hmm. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
Amen.
Okay. Yes. I mean, do we see it? They're not us.
Right.
They're not...
It's as different as Ishmael.
Yes, America. There's going to be a separation. They don't get what we get. Yeah. It's not for them, it's for us. Right? We are the free woman, the bond... They're the bond slave. They're the
Well, we're the seed of promise.
I think I'm destroying it by trying to add to it. And I almost got myself stoned there, so thank you, Lord. And I would have been willing to let you people stone me, so...
Well, we cleaned really good. Yeah. No stones in here.
I'm starting to panic. There is a fear of me that I do something wrong here. Literally a fear.
And the thing I love about this body is we all study our Bibles, so we all knew that there was no 31.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But, I mean, do you see this, though? I mean, you know, once again, I read these verses like I've never read them before. They're telling you that there's going to be a separation when Christ comes between them and us.
When we've talked about the cornerstone,
that
you have to shoot from the cornerstone. When you believe in dispensationalism
or whatever it is,
you're on the wrong cornerstone.
That's right.
Yes. Clearly, when you get to the one, everything else has to be altered.
Yes. That's right, Wendy. Yeah. You got the wrong starting point at the current cornerstone.
You've got
cornerstone.
The wrong foundation.
That's right.
And so it's kind of creaky and it's a little weak. And
very
then when
good.
You find the genuine, you know, Jesus Christ himself and the Word of God, then it changes everything. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And so, isn't that a scientific fact, Mr. Scientist, that if you start at the wrong spot, you end up at the wrong location?
Yes.
Well, I've built stuff. I put a deck on once where the corner was off.
Yeah. It's also the foundation of logic.
Amen. Yes.
Your initial premise is false will lead you to false conclusions.
Yeah.
And they'll be logical.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
you're right there logically, but it's not true because the original premise wasn't true.
Yeah. The corners, like I just said, I built a deck. It wasn't very big, but I was off.
Yeah.
And by the time I got 10 feet out, it was off.
That's
only 10 feet.
Well, here you go. And laying tile like BCT, like in Walmart and stuff like that, I installed thousands of truckloads of this stuff. So you pop your straight line, and you start on one side of the straight line, and then one tile later, you're just a little bit off of that line.
Oh, it's all right.
I'll work it out. Well, before long, you start window painting. That's where you have a little spot where there is no tile. You keep going that way, and it is, like, unbelievably.
How much more the Word of God?
Amen.
When you take a word, we don't go through the tribulation because God has not appointed us to wrath.
If you come from a different Bible has changed the foundational understanding
you come
of who
up
God
with
is.
Secret raptures,
7-year tribulations, all kinds of foolishness that are not biblical. Glad, bud.
There's adjustments too, because we're not perfect. Like, Alan, you do roofing. It's like every now and then you have to, you make small adjustments, right? So you're not
just throw it on there and get away from it.
There you go. Close your eyes and cover it.
Put some tar in there.
If you notice it, you make small adjustments and you bring it back. Otherwise, it gets off.
This is the adjustment, Lance.
Yeah.
This is.
Oh, that's what Doug and Nancy's son does. He stays on the bottom to keep it square. Seriously. He keeps the bottom square. All right? They adjust the panel as it goes. Yeah. If the house is off, you still have to go with it in order to make it look correct.
And what is God building? He's building a temple not made with hands.
Right. Like, amen.
That means we have to be...
And every once in a while, he has to adjust us.
That's right.
Every once in a while, to me, it's a whole lot more often than that.
Yeah.
When, as a Pentecostal, one of the scriptures we would stand on would be, by his stripes you're healed. So clearly we're all meant to be healed.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
We're all meant to be healed.
Yeah.
And so to me, that was obvious, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, until when we were coming out of that church, until I looked at it and understood, it's by his stripes we are healed. We are redeemed.
That's right.
Are healed to our relationship with Jesus Christ. That one thing went from my, see, this is for sure real. Everybody should be healed. Wait, we are healed. If we have come to Jesus Christ,
that's right. You already are healed.
Even in your crippled state, you're still healed.
Yes. It's a spiritual healing. And I don't think all Pentecostals, I think there's some good things. Absolutely, right? So, but like you said, they've taken it, well, Kev, you should never get sick. Because by his stripes we're healed.
Right.
But no, there's a spiritual healing that maybe he wants me sick so I could witness to a lost world. This is how a sick person trusts in God instead of Dr. Fauci.
But it's what I thought was a cardinal was a
That's the point. I can stand on it.
And if you ain't healed, then you don't have faith.
Exactly.
There's a lot of stake handlers and fingers like this.
And the thing is, you can just show how God takes you through it.
He
doesn't take you from it. He takes you through it.
That's right. You know, that's why I had a chance to Shelley Walker, the girl who does my horse's feet. I said, I made it clear, God does not. You are not glorifying God being taken out of the fight.
No.
You are glorifying God being in the fight, even if they kill you.
Yeah.
That's how you glorify God. Wendy, Ephesians 5:5-6. Go ahead, Lance.
If we were just dead stones, they just pick us up and make a building.
Yeah.
But it takes effort on our part, since we are living stones. It still takes effort on our part, you know.
You play a role.
Right.
You play a role in your walk with God, in your righteousness, your holiness. You play a role in it. You can keep caving into your sin, right? I'm glad you called it out Sunday. You could keep giving into that,
right?
Or you can fight it.
Amen.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Ephesians 5:5-6.
Oh, start in 3, please.
Really?
Or 2.
Start in 3?
Well, actually 2. Walk 2. In love, because you got to start somewhere.
Just start at 1.
Yeah, there you go.
Therefore, followers of God, as dear children,
amen,
and walk in love, as Christ also has loved you, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become the saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
So the wrath of God is going to come on these people, and we get the kingdom.
Amen. Be ye not therefore partakers with them.
That's right.
Memorize that verse.
Yeah.
It's an easy one to remember, right? If you've got a memory verse, that I'm memorizing the Bible. We'll start with this one. Be not partakers with them, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't say don't be around them. But don't join in their stuff.
You know, this is the first time I noticed this, too, in verse 5 there.
Yeah.
It says that they don't have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ.
And of God.
Yeah.
And in Daniel it says that when Christ comes, he is going to give the kingdom to the Father.
Right.
I can't remember. Something like that. Yes. But there, and you know, even Titus 2:13, the famous verse that they love, the preachers, you know, how's it go?
We can look it up.
Yeah. Titus 2:13. Whoever gets there first, read it. Titus 2:13.
Charge. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of his works.
Very good. So this is a pre-trib. This is what they love to use in the pre-trib camp. That, mm-hmm. Well, we could be taken out any second. Oh, wait a minute. A pre-trib is some secret disappearing act that is going to take place. This is clearly an appearing of Jesus Christ and God the Father. This is Revelation 6, that they see Jesus and the Father coming in wrath.
Yeah.
He's going to bless us. He's going to destroy them.
Well, the reason that they come to that is they didn't read 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that the denying of ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Yeah.
So they miss that.
They will use this thing. See, we can be good. Jim, any second now, this Titus 2:13, we can be gone any second. Wait a minute. You're not in a pre-trib rapture imminence, right? You could be gone any second. You're not looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
Here it says that we are looking for him. And Luke 21 says, when you see these things,
look up.
Then look up. So we're going to see great tribulation first. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to see these things.
We're going to see a lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
We've been talking about this.
Yep.
We're going to see the two witnesses. Right?
Yep.
We're going to see the a physical temple and a physical person creating ungodly things. But there's also in a spiritual realm that he's doing this. He's doing
absolutely.
It like Biden being in the White House.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the White House, but there's a demonic horde controlling
all
the world government.
That's right.
It's basically this so-called United States.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we are united, just in ungodly.
The World Economic Forum,
yes.
WHO,
yes.
All these globalists are not running the show.
Amen. No.
They're not running the show. The world is being prepared
for
a guy, and a lot of Christians are going to fall for that.
Nobody could understand it all.
That's right.
Right.
Not of the human world.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Isn't the confusion because it says that the church is raised first, right? That's why they think if there's like a pre-rapture. But they don't see that all flesh is laying down and then they're raised.
Well,
they see it as
the whole center of their pre-trib rapture is 1 Thessalonians 5 where it says we are not appointed to wrath. That's their, they'll say, see, we don't go through the tribulation.
Yeah, and there's a scripture I think in Isaiah that says that when he pours out his wrath completely, but they're not appointed to it. They're not appointed to that judgment.
Right.
Of that wrath.
Right.
So they don't.
Well, you're a cook, right? You like to cook things. Have you ever taken your mashed potato with the skin on it and push it through one of those sieves? Mm. Right? Well, what doesn't go through the sieve?
Skin.
All of the unrighteousness. The unrighteous will not inherit the mashed potato.
Skin's the best part.
Well, it's also the dirtiest part, right? Is the part that stayed to the ground, all that kind of stuff. But I do agree, it's the most nutritious part of the potato. Absolutely.
Let's eat.
Amen.
But yeah, that's what that wrath is, though. Like, his judgment, like, to correct everything. But he's saying that, like, once the wrath is poured out, those people are still raised. So
mm-hmm.
they're not appointed to the wrath.
Right.
I don't know. It's very, very.
We're not appointed to wrath. They are.
Like the pre-trib.
Right.
It can be easily.
No, I can't. You need somebody. When you just
clearly
read the Bible,
the
you don't see a pre-trib rapture.
That's what I'm saying. It can be easily like.
You need a man to come in there and destroy that.
And say, did God truly say?
That's right.
They can't say it's this because of one scripture and then have four or five that.
Well, they have to keep
it.
They have to keep adding on to their lie. You know, when you say, well, the day of the Lord is the day of wrath, they'll say, well, that day of the Lord is that 7-year period.
Yeah. Or it's 1,000 years.
Yeah, or it's 1,000 years. But you can clearly see that it is one day. So you just, they destroy themselves. Not only that, 2 Thessalonians makes it clear we're going to see the Antichrist. Yeah. A pre-trib rapture, you don't see the Antichrist. You're seeing an amazing grace on the way home and you're gone. Make sure you leave a Bible track in your vehicle because it's going to flip over. Someone's going to get saved. This is foolish.
Yeah, I had a talk with a pastor. Didn't say anything about it.
No.
His wife like shared like one scripture about being caught up in the clouds. I'm like, what about this scripture? What about that scripture?
When you ask even a pastor to show you a pre-trib verse, they go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. But these are verses they use for, and they're just, what it's just showing is you're being caught up.
Yeah.
Doesn't say when. But when, like Kevin said, when you start to put the verses together, and it's the last trump, and it's his appearing, now you can place it somewhere.
Right.
All right. So, Doug, Matthew 7, 15 to 23.
Matthew 7, 15 to 23. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
So these were people that were calling him Lord, Lord. Yet I'm told a bunch of people that didn't even call him Lord, Lord are going to get into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They had the wrong Jesus.
That's right. And what event is this talking about? He says, I will profess in that day. What day? Day of judgment. When he comes the second time. Right? And he also says, a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. And it's cast down and thrown into the fire. It doesn't sound like people are going to be in the kingdom with us. So to me, these are just clear verses that just show the kingdom is for us and not for them. There's more. I want to keep chasing it.
Is there more than one devil, or is devils meaning that he has cast the devil out more than once?
Well, there's the devil, and then there is devils. He called Judas Iscariot a devil.
Right.
So there are devils.
A lot of people call them demons, but that's not the
Bible. It's not. Neither is the word Nephilim.
Right.
The word Nephilim is not a King James word. Okay? The word Nephilim wants people to think that the aliens, the grays and the greens, come from another planet, are Nephilim. They're not. The Bible says mighty men. That doesn't necessarily just mean giants. It means mighty men.
God uses devils, not demons.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. So Nancy, Psalm 1. Listen to Psalm 1. This isn't something new in the New Testament that there's a separation of saints and sinners.
Right.
Yeah, Psalm 1.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
So I'm told right there in verse 5 that they're not going to be in our judgment.
No.
So there's a judgment seat. There's a judgment seat. They're going to be judged on that day, damnation. Our judgment is enter into the kingdom.
Yeah. I just saw a really neat thing in these last little bits. In the very beginning, we started with John and the wind bloweth, right? Then in Hebrews, it says a little further down about the man who builds his house on the shifting sand or digs down. Then he says the wind blows upon and beats upon the house. One doesn't fall, one does fall. And it says here in Psalm 1 about the wind again, the ungodly are not so, but are like chaff driven, the wind, which the wind driveth away.
That's right.
So the wind, the spirit comes and it blows.
That's right.
It blows and it's going to shake things. And if you are not founded on the right foundation, you'll be the ungodly are not on the right foundation. When the wind comes, it's going to blow them away. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's like a wind that comes and blows.
It reminds me of the scripture in James about the ship.
Yes.
Because the wind is what causes the waves, right?
Yeah.
And a ship will be without.
Yep. The wind, like Curtis said, the wind comes from the four winds. The four is the dimensional. That's the Holy Spirit blowing
the four corners
on man. For us, it's good. For them, it's bad. Right? First Peter
there's an interesting thing where Jesus was in the boat.
Yeah.
And he conquered, right? He controlled
the wind. Right.
For him, it was a beautiful thing because he has the spirit, right? Mm-hmm. But with the others in the boat, they did not have that. They could not see. Same event, completely different.
And what did he chastise them for?
Fear.
Why did you not have faith in
him? That's right.
Why did you have faith? I said, let's get in the boat and go to cross. Yeah, is it storming? Was the wind blowing? Was there things, adversity coming into us?
Yep.
But you were fearful because you didn't have faith that I told you that we're going to the other side.
Yep.
Can I point out verse 5?
Yes.
Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment.
Exactly. Yes. They
cannot stand it.
Amen.
And then it really has, they have no standing.
That's right.
And they won't be standing.
That's right.
That's probably when they're on their knees.
Yeah.
So here's another witness of the Old Testament that they don't get what we get. It's not for them, it's for us. They don't get the inheritance we get.
Well, they won't pass through the veil.
That's right.
They're going to be crushed
by the veil and become stubble.
Yeah.
Right? And chaff. What was, what's his name? Boaz doing?
Yeah.
He was separating the wheat from the chaff. And when Jesus was walking
by the wind.
It's right. He's going to throw it up.
Throw it out.
Right?
The wind.
And when Jesus was walking through the field,
they were plucking
the harvest. Yeah. Him and the disciples were plucking the harvest. He was separating wheat from chaff as
funny,
he's coming.
We're going to talk about that a little bit.
That's good stuff, man. But, listen to you. We were talking about the Holy Spirit being fire.
Did you have something?
I was just going to say, finish 5, Doug. It says, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
Nor sinners. That's right. In the congregation.
In the congregation.
That's right.
The sinners in the congregation.
That's right.
The tares among the wheat.
That's right.
Are not going to be in.
That's right. They're not in our congregation.
Yeah. Well, they're in the congregation, but they're not welcome into the kingdom.
That's right.
It's kind of like it is here.
Yeah.
In the congregation for a little while, but if you're not in this, you're
going to
leave.
Amen.
Yeah, you can't stand it.
You can't stand it.
If we're offending you by quoting King James Scripture, you're going to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
People really are offended by King James Scripture.
They really
Absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't see churches separating over the NIV.
No.
There's no New King James controversy. This is one of those things, like, once saved, always saved, pre-trib rapture. Mm-hmm. King James, they told Curtis, choose this mountain you're going to fight on.
Are you sure you're going to die on this mountain?
Yeah, they don't care about any other version.
Right?
They won't fight over any other version.
No.
But they'll
That's right.
Your face
they hate this. They hate the King James. Because the King James exposes all the lies that doctrines of men have been teaching them. Go ahead, bud.
It's what foundation that you really believe in the most. When that wind picked up, and they were afraid, it's like, well, now you're forced to make a decision.
That's right.
It's like, what do you actually believe in? Do you believe that, this person that you see as a man that you call Lord, is that a... is that God?
That's right.
And if it is, then why are you afraid?
Maybe
how this whole 144th study started? This started with Revelation 7. You have to turn to Revelation 7:1.
And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that it should not blow on the earth and the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel having the seal of the living God, said, hurt not the earth, mm-hmm. until we have sealed our servants. Right. And we found out what that sealing was. It's a resurrection. First Peter 1 says, you, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. That's 1 Corinthians 15. Incorruptible, it's a resurrected body. Undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for... Reserved in heaven.
Right.
Where's he coming from? He's coming from heaven mm-hmm. with his reward. With his reward, with your resurrected body. Okay? who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed 1,000 years after his second coming. That's how it says. Ready to be revealed at the last time. Where ye greatly rejoice now for a season, if ye need not that heaviness through manifold temptations. You know, temptation is a tribulation.
Yeah.
You being tempted is a tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Tempted. Exactly. Yep. That the trial of your faith must be much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire.
Amen.
There's a trial of fire coming, and the only thing left standing are the purified ones, the planet, the earth, the creation, and the ones that don't survive it are going to burn, and their holes are going to melt in their sockets. The eyes are going to melt in the holes of their sockets. It's not for them.
No.
It's for us.
I mean, when you even think, there's one foundation, which is Christ Jesus. Be careful how you build thereon.
That's right.
Wood, hay, and stubble is not going to make it.
That's right.
Only the real things, precious stones, precious metals.
Yeah, and when, don't forget, when Jesus Christ comes, the vision, Revelation 19, he's got a rod. At Armageddon.
Right.
And a lot of people think that he's going to rule over people for 1,000 years with a stick. Oh, get over here, Klaus Schwab. You're bad for 1,000 years. No. That rod is going to smash them. Its clay is smashed into stubble, and they are going to be scattered into the pit of hell.
The great thing about this, in the Revelation, it says, we will remember it no more.
That's right.
We'll never think about Klaus again.
I'll tell you what, whoever. Curtis, when I've come to realize this, and I agree with you, I have hope of family members.
Yeah.
But when he appears, and if they rejected him,
yeah.
I will know.
Right.
I will know that them going into the pit mm-hmm. of hell and getting slaughtered is righteous and holy.
It was a righteous, fair judgment.
That's right. Yeah. How dare you think you can do this without him?
Yeah.
Okay, so one more here, and then, Nancy, did you read?
It's a thin film.
Yeah. Psalm 2. So let me read something here. 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, thinking that strange concerning the fiery trial which shall try you. It's some strange thing happened to you.
Yeah.
So we are going through trials right now, but there is a fiery trial coming down by the Holy Spirit that is going to try the whole world. And the only thing left standing are people that believe in Jesus Christ. Go ahead, dear.
Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon a holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
I think verse 12 there kind of sums it up. Either you're going to perish,
or you're going to enter.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
The decision is made in this earth, right? So there's so much meat here, and just Psalm 2, you could see a separation on the day of the Lord, because he says, what does he say there? The rod. Where's the rod? Oh, 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Revelation 19. This is Revelation 19 he's talking about right here. Revelation 19 says, 19:11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So you have Armageddon, and you have the judgment seat of Christ. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and the armies which followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress and the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. So there's Armageddon. He's coming with the rod, not to rule over them for 1,000 years, but to smash them, like Psalm 2 says, into pieces. And then they are going to be scattered.
I just have one question. This is a question. It's an honest question. You know, in Zechariah 14, it talks about the nations, right?
Yeah.
So what's your thought on the nations?
Yeah, my thought, okay.
Well, that's kind of, it's yeah.
No, you know, do you want me to stop?
next week?
Okay. Yeah, we will, because we'll
because
talk
that's
about.
A deep thing to jump into at 12:05.
Yeah, I know it's wrong.
No, that's good. It's a good question. We're going to look at it. And plus, I think we're probably, who gets the general idea of what's going on here, right? I mean, we could keep chasing this. I mean, we will cover that next week. I do want to cover it because it's been brought up before. But I think we can move on to genealogy. Because we haven't replaced them. For anybody listening, we haven't replaced Israel, but we are grafted into the tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Oh, Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy. Thank you that your son has come down to us, Lord. I don't know if I can ever understand that. And you saw the wickedness of man and still had mercy on us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for meeting us here, Lord, and teaching us the Word of God, teaching us the truth, Lord. I pray that we would just draw closer and closer to you as you open up the Scriptures to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would just keep preaching to your flock out of Curtis, Lord. Just use his mouth, but preach the truth. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Y'all just leave your chairs the way they are, because if we need two rows for Sunday morning, that'll make other people step forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
How you doing?
My sister.
I know.
I see that.
He's down
there.
Where's your grandma? Oh, goodness, really? I know for weeks.
Hey,
I thought I'd be careful you interchange.
I'd
like to arm getting up and down.
You got it, my baby. You're more than welcome to.
Oh, yeah. I have it.
All's
good,
yeah.
There's
a pipe. It's not just a normal.
Yeah,
the
same one
looks
awesome. I like the same.
Yeah.
Oh, I got
it. Yeah.
Yeah.